A motion by Trustee Cannon. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second by Mr. Morrow. Note for the record that Trustee Vereen has joined us. Thanks for being here, Trustee Vereen. Any discussion on the minutes? Okay. All those in favor, I'll call you by name. Mr. Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen? Trustee Vereen, is your sound on? Can you hear us? Sounds like she's still working things out. Trustee Morrow?
Aye.
I am an aye. Trustee Vereen, can you hear us? Trustee Vereen? Okay, noting that she's still working things out, that item has a majority vote and passes. We'll move on to item three, administrative matters. There's a number of items here. Let's start with item A, 3A, approval of the annual report. Continue.
Good morning, everybody. This is Carolyn Cohn, counsel for the Pension Fund. Nice to meet you, Mr. Morrow. So every year we are required under the plan to report to the Board of Alders about the plan. And so last month, this was presented to you. The annual report is prepared by Hooker and Holcomb, and then our office reviews it to make sure it has all the latest policies, all the interpretations we've done over the years. We give it to Raymond James to make sure the list of investments is correct. And then we give it back to Hooker and Holcomb, and they confirm that any changes we've made are accurate. So this does require a vote. Last month, Trustee Cannon wanted more time to review it. And so that's why it was continued to this month. And I could try to answer any questions you may have about it.
Thanks, Attorney Cohn. Are there any questions from the trustees on this? Trustee Cannon, you've had time to review?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions? All right, let's move towards a vote. Is there a motion to approve the annual report?
Motion to move the annual report, Barbara Vereen.
Thanks, Trustee Vereen. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks, Trustee Morrow. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the annual report, Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Morrow?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. The annual report passes. Item 3B, Fleischer Fonte and Ald, quarter one, 2022, information only.
Hi, this is Leanna. Good morning. They sent us three documents that were passed on to everyone. She said that she would come and present midway through the year, so after the second quarter, but she did send me an email just giving some information on the first quarter. Let me just pull that up. So this was from Nancy Kulesa. She said in quarter one, New Haven PNF had exposure of approximately 404,929 in Meta platforms, which was Facebook. On the settlement and claim side, they filed claims in Credit Suisse Group and received a distribution of $4,082 from that litigation, and also received a distribution of $2,352 in the Signet litigation. So those were the main items just for information only for this meeting. And again, she will be here after the second quarter concludes to give a better wrap up of everything.
Thanks, Leanna. Any questions here? Seeing none, item 3C, proposed amendment to the Code of Ethical Standards and Conduct, reimbursement of educational expenses. Attorney Cohn, do you want to give a little summary here?
Sure. This is Carolyn Cohn. The Code of Conduct encourages trustees to attend educational seminars and provides in general form that all the expenses, I'm sorry about the dog, all of the expenses of the trustees attending the conferences will be reimbursed. When we met with SURF last month, they were, several members were interested in attending a conference. That led me to look at the Code of Conduct. The Code of Conduct provides that there will be an exhibit or an Appendix D, which details the amount that people can spend for food, et cetera, and how they get reimbursed. When I looked at the Code of Conduct, I did not find that Schedule D. And I went back to our files and I found that we had drafted a Schedule D, but that it had never been adopted by either fund. So when we discussed it with the SURF trustees, they requested that we not use that Appendix D, but rather we do three things. The first one is that we use the city's reimbursement policy, because that is more likely to be updated periodically. The second thing was that any trustee attending a conference would let the other trustees know in advance. So they would, it would go on the agenda, you know, various trustees were planning to attend conferences. Prior approval of expenses would not be required for expenses that would be less than $5,000. And the third thing they requested was that the fund be allowed to advance money for hotels and for larger expenses like airplane travel or registration fees. So what I did was draft for the both funds the language that is provided as part of your package. And the other thing that I wanted to point out is you were given a copy of the city's policy, but it is quite old. And trustee Mr. Gormany is here and he can discuss this, but the city is intending to update its policy. But you can see just sort of a sense of what the items would be. So the only parts of the city policy that would apply to the trustees would be the amounts that you could spend on various items and the various items that are reimbursable. But the whole process of approval, I gave you a form that we have developed, would be unique to the pension funds.
Thank you, Attorney Cohn. I'm impressed that you were able to talk
I'm
through.
I'm so sorry about the dog. It's my daughter's dog, and I need to get her under control.
Questions on this item? As a reminder, I think it's encouraged that trustees, when they're able to get educational training, attend conferences, things like that, to become better trustees. And this just gives an outline of what is and is not, what are and are not appropriate expenses.
Mayor?
Again.
I agree. Amazing how you were able to present. I had a hard time following sometimes. And are we voting on something here?
Yes. Yeah. Because it becomes an amendment to the Code of Conduct. So that's this language that you got received that's sort of really redlined. I don't know if somebody wants to put it up.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't get a chance to review everything that was sent. There was a lot of information in this agenda. I just got it 2 days ago. With that, I haven't had a chance to catch up on it. So, and I do appreciate your presentation. I wasn't able to catch the whole gist of it. I apologize.
You know, I will put her away, but I think item. That was my concern.
My request is to consider, let's push this to next month so we can look into it a little bit more.
Sure.
Any urgency to this item. Before we, if we do decide, the trustees do decide to table, I just want to, before anyone makes a motion, are there any other questions by the trustees or additional information that the trustees need to see? Attorney Cohn?
No, I'm sorry.
I think that we can entertain a motion to table, and we can
continue it. I'm sorry, Mayor, but if we continue it, then we don't have to untable it at the next meeting. We could just continue it as a continued item.
I think either is fine. Is there a motion to continue the item?
Motion to continue. This is Trustee Cannon.
Thank you, Trustee Cannon. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second.
That's Trustee McDermott beat you to it. Trustee Vereen, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor, Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Morrow? And I'm an aye as well. Leanne, if you could make a note to resend the information for next meeting and include this on the agenda, that would be great. Thank you. Item 3D, the Brenner, Salzman, and Wallman Yearly Review of Fees.
This is Leanna. This was also provided in your packet. Taylor went through and, like we've done the past couple years, compared what the fund has paid towards Brenner, Salzman, and Wallman, and what it based on the flat fee rate, because you have the option of doing the flat fee or, whatever the monthly amount ends up being. So the Excel format that we sent you compares what you did end up paying with the flat fee versus what it would have been if you had not done the flat fee. This time each year, you are able to vote on if you want to, stick with the process you're with, which is currently the flat fee, or change over to paying, dollar for dollar based on whatever the monthly amount ends up being.
Questions? And as a reminder, Mr. Gormley is working through the RFP process and for the next round of proposals for legal help. But any questions here? Okay. And this is information only, or do you're asking for a vote to continue the flat fee?
Correct.
Okay. So, I think it's pretty clear by the comparison that the flat fee is saving us money at this point. Compared to,
I think actually this past year, it did on the SIR side. No, you were right on the, it fluctuates. I think last year it was a huge, much bigger difference between the flat fee and the actual amount. Whereas this year it's a little bit less on the actual amount. It just shows you never know how much it's going to be, because you don't know what will or won't, come up each month.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the reminder. It saves us money on the SIR side. Are there opinions on from the trustees as to whether to continue the flat fee or to do the fluctuating fee? Mr. Cannon, you're on mute.
I apologize. I, once again, just received this, as everyone else did, a little late, and just have not had a chance to review and analyze what the numbers actually are. So I would hope that we could continue this matter if it needs a vote till next month also.
Is there any urgency to this matter? I mean, do we just continue the flat fee for the next month and then we can vote next month?
Yeah, I would assume that would be fine, yes.
Do the other trustees have any opinions here?
Obviously, being sworn in, a chance to take a look at it would be great. So,
yeah, frankly, it's a little bit of a gamble. You never know what comes up and how much time people spend. So, the flat fee is a lot more certain about what we can expect as far as fees. If there are incidents that are outside of kind of regular course of duty, that's not included under the agreement around the flat fee. Okay. Sounds like we'll continue this item as well. Is there a motion there?
So moved.
Mr. Morrow made the motion. Mr. Cannon?
Second.
Mr. Cannon. All right. Having been the motion having been made and seconded, any additional discussion? All those in favor, Ms. Morrow? You're on mute.
Aye.
Ms. Cannon?
Aye.
Ms. McDermott?
Aye.
Ms. Vereen?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So that item will be continued as well. Leanne, if you can make a note on that item, please. Moving on to item 3E, discussion regarding amending the policy to create a time limit for a member who sustains an injury after application for an age retirement, but before the retirement begins to apply for disability benefits. Maybe Attorney Coney, give us a little summary, a reminder of this item.
Yes, thank you. This is Carolyn Cohn. So this may be an unusual one-off situation, but a very long time ago, this board in the early 90s adopted a policy in the late 90s, 1999, that said that you need to apply for your disability at the time you apply for your age annuity. And it created an exception for a person who applies for an age annuity, it's granted, but injured between the date of the application and the date that their retirement is anticipated to occur, which seemed like a reasonable policy. However, a retired firefighter was it in 2018 or 2016?
14.
Came to Leanna's office and said, I am on an age annuity. I was injured between the time of my application and the time when I retired as an age annuity, and I would like my age annuity application to be considered a disability application. And I felt that that's what the policy said, as unusual circumstances this was, and that maybe we needed to revisit the policy and create some sort of time limitation or notice that the injury occurred before the person retired and after their application. So I wanted to get your thoughts about this, and then I thought I would, if you wanted this to be pursued, I would talk to the Director of Labor Relations and see if this was something that needed to be collectively bargained. And I'd be interested in what the union representatives feel about that as well.
Attorney Cohn, before I open up to questions, would this, if you were to investigate this or review this, would this be included in the flat fee?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Questions?
This
Mr.
came Cohn. About-
Mr. Cannon, Mr. Cannon.
I'm sorry, apologies. Trustee Cannon, this came about because someone walked into the pension office looking to change their pension from age annuity to disability?
That's correct.
And the year was 2014 that he retired?
Correct. 2014, yeah. Came in or sent an email, Pat, like 2 months ago, 2022.
And are you able to access records that far back to see if the request was made in? For disability at that time?
It was not made at that time, no.
And he, Trustee Cannon, he agrees that he did not make a request at that time.
And Carolyn, I apologize. Could the back end of your commentary, what was his reasoning to make this change?
He said that, he was recently made aware of a retirement benefit he did not know of, and that he retired with an injury in 2014 and was giving a disability rating that would qualify him for half of the pension to be tax-free.
Right. I would assume that he's basing it on he thought he had a workman's comp rating that entitled him to a disability. Maybe he did get it through workman's comp, but he never followed the proper procedure at the time to go through us for a tax deferred disability through the pension board. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. He said that he got injured, I guess, a couple weeks before the retirement and didn't get the rating until a few years later. and has had, you know, surgery since. And he was unaware of this benefit until recently. I'm not sure who he spoke to about it, which is why he reached out to us to see if he could switch to disability at this time.
Okay, thank you. I have a better understanding. I apologize. My concern now is, and I'll present this to Attorney Cohn, and I will not use names out of respect for the recent retiree that requested a disability a little after the timeline. I think it was a retired police officer. If we have to go into executive session, let me know and we'll go in there. I just want to make sure that we're not opening ourselves to something, whereas that member recently went beyond the 1 year time and then was able to get a review.
I think that situation, if we're talking about the same one, was different because I think it was that person did actually submit an application.
I agree.
It was never seen by Yale until a couple years later, or requesting to do it a couple years later. Whereas in this situation, this person never submitted the application. So that process was never started at all.
And this is Carolyn. I want to be clear. This, whatever we do, whatever, am I muted?
Go ahead.
Whatever we do today would not apply to this gentleman.
Right. This is about policy.
Yeah. It would be, it's just a problem that's come to our attention that I wanted to bring to your attention, but it wouldn't apply to him.
Meaning the current person, we're moving forward and then it would eventually be brought to the board to make the decision on the person. But we're discussing a policy for moving forward if any other, you know, future situations like this arise.
Mr. Cannon, it looks like you're thinking or have additional questions.
I'd like to find more background on what's going on here as far as with the fire department, firefighter, not the board here, but.
Yeah, and again, I think that the point of both Leanna and Attorney Cohn is that this request is going to be reviewed given the current lack of policy, but it brought to our attention a potential issue where anyone can come in at any time and for as far back as whenever they could request this. And it having some sort of limitation on that is the suggestion of what might be appropriate here. So I think the question on the table is, do we want Attorney Cohn to look into this matter, determine whether it would require a collective bargaining and potentially come to us with a suggestion about how the policy might change. And then the trustees can review what a proposal might be.
And also, if you want me to pursue this, I'd appreciate some guidance on time period, on what the board would think would be an appropriate time period for somebody to come back and ask for a disability under those circumstances.
Trustee Cannon will make the motion for Attorney Cohn to review and look into this and present to us at the next month's meeting, and we can make a determination as far as some of those questions that she had.
Is there a second on that motion?
Second.
There is a second by Mr. Morrow, Trustee Morrow. Is there any thoughts from trustees as to what might be an appropriate timeline for an expectation that someone can submit this request? A couple years?
Trustee Cannon, I think that's something we need to look into before we make a determination on that. I mean, just the circumstances might be different for everyone.
Understood. Trustee McDermott, it looks like you were about to say something.
I'll discuss this with my executive board going forward, just to see what their thoughts are on this.
Will do.
Do you think it makes sense for? I'll look into the labor relations issue, and then we could have a further discussion on that on the policy.
Julia, I have just one thought. Thank you, Mayor. Is there a standard that other towns or states use? I mean, this can't be the first time someone's thought of this, right? Is this you know, in terms of like after someone retires, if what's the standard, you know, anywhere else? That would be helpful just to see if New Haven is an outlier, if this request is an outlier, or if it's a common practice everywhere else.
It's a good suggestion. Attorney Cohn?
I'll look into that as well.
Okay. So there's a motion on the table for Attorney Cohn to look into this and report back next month. All those in favor of this motion, Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Morrow?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So we've got a lot of items on the agenda for next month. A lot to review between now and then. Okay, so we're moving on to item 4. Let's note for the record, age, annuity, retirement, information only, Richard LaRocque, John Delfino, Newton Anderson, Paul Peria, Stefan Turquati, Jose Maldonado, Antonio Almovidar, Thomas Fitzgerald, Megan Medellis, and Jen Forsland. Moving on to item 5, age, annuity, retirement, and service-connected disability. 5A, Robert Maturo, and 5B, Rosalie Reed. Item 5A, Robert Maturo was tabled. Is there a motion to remove this item from the table?
I'd just like to put it forward to, if I could request to leave it tabled. Retired Lieutenant Maturo got me some information from additional medical follow-up that he was going to do that I didn't see included in the packet for the information for this month's meeting. He may have gotten that in a little bit late. So just in the fact that the information that we had asked him to go out and get in the second doctor's thing, he did do it, but we just don't have it as part of our document package for this meeting.
Okay. I have no problem with leaving a table. Does any other trustees?
This is Leanne. We never received anything from him. So whatever information this is, it would need to be sent to my office.
I have a copy of everything, and I'll try to have him send you everything directly, but failing that, I will get it to you myself by the end of the week.
Okay. I also wasn't aware that we had asked him for information. I thought we were looking for more information from workers' comp on him specifically, but I could have misunderstood that.
He did in fact follow up with the doctor, and I did get some paperwork for that, but I saw his documents in there with the email. We had quite a few documents and attachments this meeting. I thought the one he had sent me was included in that, but upon further review, I was incorrect. So I'll see what we can do to get that over so we can move on with this item.
So even if we had not requested that, if he wants an opportunity to submit more information for review, I think it's fine for us to review everything, all the information available. So can you make sure, Trustee McDermott, to me, I don't know if it makes a legal difference, but it seems more appropriate that he provide the information, not you, but he provide the information directly to the pension fund office. If you could make sure that he does that would be great.
I would prefer that as well. I can get the, if that causes excess delays, I can at least informally forward it along just so the pension board can, or the pension office, should I say, can see what we have there.
Will do. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments on this item? Okay, so we're on item 5B, Rosalie Reed. Is there a motion to approve this item?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Trustee Cannon.
If there's any discussion that's about private medical information, we'd have to go into executive session. So just to want to make sure, do any of the trustees have any questions that would require us to go into executive session on this item? Okay. Are there any additional questions on this item? All right, let's move to a vote. All those in favor, Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Morrow?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So item 5B passes. Item 6, contribution withdrawals information only. I know for the record, Colin Whalen. Item 7, death after retirement information only, Donald Wilson, Arthur Tuttle. And item 8, survivor death after retirement information only, Judith Caccioli. If the trustees would take a moment a moment of silence for the passing of those individuals. Thank you. Item 9, payment of the bills. Is there a motion to approve payment of the bills?
Motion.
Trustee Cannon made the motion. Is there a second?
Second, Barbara.
Trustee Breen, seconded. Any discussion on payment of the bills? Any discussion? All those in favor of payment of the bills, approving payment of the bills, Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Breen. Trustee Vereen, you're on mute.
Aye.
Thank you, Trustee Vereen. No problem. Trustee Morrow?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. That item passes. Let's move back to item 1, the investment report on the agenda. And I apologize, everybody, but I have to get off for an interview. Trustee Cannon, can you take over from here?
Yes, sir. Thank you. And thank you for your time today.
Thank you. You're a good man. All right. Take care of everyone and have a great day.
All right. Mr. Moran, please.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, Trustee Morrow, to the board. So we have a presentation this morning, and I know we lost the mayor, but I think we have enough for a quorum. So, and because of the time, what I want to do is run through the report real quickly, and then we'll bring in Serenitas to do a presentation. That presentation, just so everybody knows, is only about 15 minutes, maybe a little bit of Q&A afterwards. So I think total probably in about 20 minutes in total. So we won't take up all your morning. I'll leave most of the market commentary for next month. Fiscal year ends today, I believe. So the next meeting will be more information on outlooks for the total markets and where we think we should be deploying assets going into the end of the year. So with that said, Taylor, if you could bring up the report. It should only be two documents that I sent you. So the report that I sent you, and then there'll be the presentation. We'll see the report first. Okay, so this is May. We went on to, I think it's page 4. I'm going to make that a little bit larger. That should work. So this is through the end of May. A lot has changed between now and then. So June was one of the worst months we had on record for equities. So these numbers will change. But if you look at the numbers on this page, if you look at our, I'm going to concentrate on two different columns, and that's the 6 month number and the fiscal year to date number. So if you see on the top side, the blue line, our 6 month number, again, absolutely losing money relative to our benchmarks, we're outperforming. So you have a negative 6% and then a negative 3%. Those numbers will get worse towards going into obviously today, and we'll get back to you on that. But so far, as far as relative performance, are doing pretty well. Below that is everything without the alternatives. Alternatives should help these numbers once reconciled. Again, they take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Get that information to the actuaries. Actuaries do the rest of the math with us and get us a final number. So if the way I look at things right now, we're probably going to be down hopefully high single digits if that's the case. And if you balance that out with performance for the prior fiscal year, we should still be ahead of our discount rate and doing well, but it's been a tough challenge. We had a raging bull market during COVID, and everything's pretty much gone poorly since then. Talk about that at the very end. Look at our equity managers. There's Sizer. This is a large cap manager that is a combination of both growth and value. Just to put this in perspective, if you look at the 6 month number on this chart, you're going to see negative 5%. Which looks great because it's outperforming its benchmark, which is down negative 10. However, just to give you a heads up, So that portfolio as of this morning, which I looked at earlier, is down closer to 14% right now. So again, June's been painful and nowhere high. Fixed income's been poor also. So we've been, you know, staying to our allocation, but it's been a painful month. And below that, you have Atalanta, more growthy manager. You can see that those numbers, as you can see, are leaning more towards growth, and you're down 13% there. I've looked at their numbers. We'll get into that in July. Aristotle's more value. Again, absolute numbers are pretty good, but it's been a tough 6 months. Their longer-term numbers, since inception numbers, as you can look to the far right, are still doing very well versus their benchmark, up about 7%, 7.25% higher. Mid-cap and small-cap has been a challenge also. You look at the value portfolio with Cook. I've done a little bit better in the last month, according to this report. But their longer-term numbers are still a challenge. If you look at their long-term numbers, they're still doing pretty well. You know, their three-year numbers right on top of the bogey, and they're outperforming since inception. But I do have a meeting set up with them this coming month, and we'll sit down and kick the tires on that. We haven't brought them in. We brought in two managers on this report in the last couple months to tell us what's going on with their portfolios, and Cook and Bieler could be on the list. We'll talk about both the mid-cap portfolio and their small-cap when they come in, both of which are worth the discussion. And Mutual of USA, Mutual of America, pretty much in line with what we hired them to do, pretty close to all of their benchmarks. Small-cap, again, the growthier side of the market, regardless of which capitalization, has been a challenge. Whereas, again, back in COVID, it was the opposite. Everything growthy was going up. You had the FANG stocks. And I think we talked about Meta and Facebook was going up as well as everything else tech related. That's obviously reversed. And there's reasons for that, with rates going higher. We've talked about that at length. So Clearbridge is one of our best managers that we've had, and they're still doing well relatively, but you can see that it's been a tough run. And their inception numbers are still much better than their index that they're competing with. Cook & Bieler, talked about that, pretty much in line the last couple of months, but their longer-term numbers are a challenge. When I say longer-term, I'm talking fiscal year to 1 year, and their long-term numbers are still okay since inception. Go down to the next page. Just quickly, Taylor, do you see the gentleman from Serenitas in the waiting room? No, she's listening. We have Channing, which is a small cap manager that was on watch. We brought him in. We actually took some money from them. Everybody knows that story. Has done very, very well since then. A little too big there. Okay, so the people are in the waiting room. So after I'm done, we'll bring them in. So if you could just make that a little bit smaller, unless I'm looking at a screen no one else is looking at. All right, here we go. Internationally, WSM is one of those managers that we've talked about. They came in, talked about their cyclicality and the way in which they manage money. And it's been, again, a challenge, but their longer-term numbers are great. We heard their story. They've been through this before. International markets have been a challenge across the board. And we'll watch them and continue to get updates on them and, you know, where their attribution is and why that's being analyzed because of it. MFS is a new manager. Doing okay in the last 30 of this report, and we'll keep an eye on them. Hopefully they'll do well for us going forward. Fixed income. So there's a reason why we're having a presentation today. As you can see, fixed income's been a place where no one could really hide. We can see that across the board. If you look at the fiscal year-to-date number, I think that's where it is. But the year-to-date number and the fiscal year-to-date number are, you know, down 7, down 6, give or take. Now, we haven't seen a market like that in bonds in a long, long time, probably going back almost 40 years. We've talked about this at nauseam, and we know that there's reasons for rates being going up. There's recessionary reasons. Federal Reserve is raising rates, kind of slow the economy down, get some of these pricing pressures down. So it's tough to make money when rates go up in the bond market. And that's, again, the reason why we're going to listen to the presenters that are coming in today. And I'll talk about why I think it's a good investment. We'll discuss it as a group, and then I'll if we do make an allocation, I'll talk about, you know, where that money's going to come from and how much I would recommend that we put to them. So that, you have cash. Our cash balance, as of I was looking at it last night, we should be in the range of about 40 million, but we do have allocations out there that are still being funded. So that should drop us down to about 25 million right now. I don't think there's any future investments on the near-term horizon. So we'll use that 25 million to pay down benefits. And then we should be looking for, obviously, ADAC and ARC money from the city going into the fall. And that should help replenish our stockpile to deploy. And honestly, deploying at a pretty good level right here as far as being a buyer. Hopefully things turn around between now and the end of the year, or at least into the first quarter of the following year. The next page or two is just some stuff we've already highlighted. We have our hedge fund, which is, again, challenged. I don't know if Alkeon is on. Derek, are they on the SURF agenda at all to come in for an update, or should we bring them in for police and fire? I know they're both funds.
Yeah, I've had a conversation with them, but they're due to come in to either one of our meetings. So we could probably bring them into both because, you know, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, this is another manager, again, that has great long-term numbers. If you look at their inception numbers, twice as good as the MSCI, but they've been really challenged as of late. Really challenged. So let's get an update on them. We'll get one of two things. We could get an update, put them on watch if we're not comfortable, or we could look at this manager that's done phenomenally in markets that have rebounded. Maybe we could look at the total allocation to hedge funds and possibly add to them. So it could be one or the other. Otherwise, we'll just keep a watch on them. But I've gone back and forth with a couple of different clients when I look at where they are and to figure out, you know, what the best option is going forward. So with that said, unless there's any questions right this moment, I'd like to bring these gentlemen in for a presentation. Before we do, though, and we spoke about this when we brought them in, we usually bring in three managers for, you know, presentations after we do, you know, macro screens and quant screens and qualitative screens to figure out who we want to manage. This is a one-off. This is a very unique product. It's an alternative to fixed income, which, again, we see as a tough place to make money. In the marketplace, we need fixed income according to our investment policy statement and asset allocation. It does take the edge off, usually over the last couple of decades, takes the edge off the volatility in equity markets. Now, right now, we're a situation where both markets are tough and we're losing money in both areas. So, how can we keep long only traditional fixed income managers on the books, but also maybe add to that class with something that hedges that or is an alternative to that? That long-only approach. So this is a complicated product. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's unique and it's complicated. And we could listen to the folks I'm going to bring in. And then after they are done, we'll ask a couple of questions. Most of the questions I'm going to ask, I already know the answers to, because obviously I've talked to these folks many times about this and gone through this presentation many times. But I'm going to prod them for some questions about, the things that I would ask if I was on the board, and feel free to ask anything above and beyond that. Try to get some clarity exactly what they do. So with that, Taylor, you could bring these folks in, and I'll make
a one second, Moran. One second, please. In fairness to the rest of the trustees, I just want to ask if anybody has any questions for Mr. Moran on the current portfolio before we bring this group in. Any trustees that have a question for Mr. Moran?
I don't right now. Obviously, just getting sworn in and just sort of getting my feet wet. But if I can get some contact information at some point, and if I have just side questions, you know, I just, you know, just sort of catch up. Try to play catch up here is a little difficult.
Yeah, definitely. It's overwhelming at times. And we'll definitely get you contacts and make ourselves available. Mr. Moran, would you please make contact also? We'll get your contact information to Trustee Morrow. If Thank there's you. Any other trustees with questions, if not, we'll move on to the presentation.
I will do. Thank you.
Okay, Taylor. I'm sorry. Leanna, please bring in the next group. Good morning, sir. Mr. Capobianco, Mr. Weeks, you have the floor.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us here today. I just like to just briefly introduce myself and my colleague before we jump into the presentation. My name is Tom Capobianco. I am the Director of Public Fund Marketing Sales at LMCG Investments. I've been in the industry a little over 33 years, working for two firms, with my primary responsibility with the new business development and client servicing of our public fund clients across the country. Also on the call here today is David Weeks. He's the CIO and head of our Serenitas strategy that we're going to discuss today. David is a partner of the firm and also has a seat on the board of directors. David brings to the table over 40 years of investment experience. Prior to joining LMCG in 2015, the team was working with Merrill Lynch and spun off on their own in 2012 and then joined our firm in 2015. So what I'd like to do is just spend about 2 or 3 minutes on the firm and then turn it over to David. He can focus most of the time on the strategy. So Taylor, if we could turn to page 4 in the presentation. So the strategy, okay, there you go, perfect. Page 4. I'll just wait 2 seconds. There we go. Super. The firm was founded in 2000, and at that time we had a variety of strategies under management. And over the years, we determined that we found out that our expertise lay in two areas. That's the wealth management and alternative investment area. Approximately 1.1 billion of those 3.7 billion assets under management is dedicated to our Serenitas strategy. We have 41 employees. 5 of them are dedicated to the Serenitas strategy we'll discuss today. And we have offices headquartered in Boston and a satellite office in New York. 35 employees are in Boston and 6 are in New York. Back in March of 22 this year, 18 employees together aggregate their money together. We bought out our parent company, Royal Bank of Canada. So as of today, we are an employee-owned firm. All 5 team members of the Serenitas team are partners of the firm and invested into the firm. David and his team left Merrill Lynch around 2012 and on their own 2013. We were fortunate enough to be introduced to the team in 2013 as they were looking to see if they were to outsource their back office operation or partner with a firm that could provide that. Unfortunately, over the 2 years after that, we negotiated and worked together, and David and his whole team joined our firm in 2015. And it was a good partnership for us because David and his team wanted to focus on their expertise of managing the strategy and not be distracted by the back office. And what we provided to them was the risk oversight, legal and compliance, operations, and information technology, as well as marketing and sales. And at that time, they had about $36 million under management. Today, we've grown that strategy to over $1.1 billion the strategy is responsible for. So that's just kind of a brief overview. I'll answer any questions. If not, we can move on to David.
Great. So I'm David Weeks. I'm the Chief Investment Officer for the strategy. I'd like to turn to the next slide, page 5. And, you know, here you can see the investment team. We've worked together for over 15 years now, initially coming together at Merrill Lynch. And my partners have known each other even longer. Ajit Kumar, he went out to Stanford for a master's program in finance and mathematics. And that's where he met Andreas Eckner and Guillaume Harel, who were in the same program, but stayed on to get PhDs in statistics. And through their friendship with Ajit, they came to Merrill Lynch in the group that Ajit and I were in. Our other partner, Edwin Sui, also has a very quantitative background. He has a master's in mathematics and finance from NYU and a master's in physics. So my partners have been able to build analytics, build models for us to analyze parts of mortgage and corporate markets where there's price inefficiency that allow us to generate steady returns. As Tom mentioned, we're partners in the firm, but we're also invested in the fund, the strategy that we're speaking to you about today. We have over 35 million of our personal capital in the strategy. I'd like to go to page 6 and just talk about today's environment. it's a really a challenging environment, one that investors and markets haven't faced for many, many years. It's a high inflationary environment, and that has led to rising interest rates, and the Fed is using higher rates and quantitative tightening to try to get inflation under control. And that's bringing about volatility in markets. And now there's a concern that the efforts to get inflation under control could potentially lead to a recession in the US economy. So it's challenging for investors and allocators, because in today's market, both equities are down and traditional fixed income is down significantly due to the rising rates. So, you know, what should allocators be doing? And the people that we talk to, they're really seeking investments which can diversify their exposure and reduce their exposure to fixed income markets. So they're looking for strategies that have low correlation or negative correlation to fixed income and low correlation to stocks. It's really important in this environment to have investments that can reduce the downside risk in the portfolio. So you want strategies that make investments with an attractive risk reward profile. By that, I mean, portfolio that can make more than it can lose. And you want a strategy that can make money throughout the investment cycle, steady returns, including in rising interest rate environments. So I'd like to go to page 7, talk about our strategy. We specialize in four areas, and we construct a portfolio where the returns are not dependent on the direction of broader markets. One of the areas that we specialize in is in the mortgage market, where we're focused on bonds that are backed by thousands and thousands of U.S. residential mortgages. So just the mortgages that you and I would take out if we're buying a house, those mortgages are pooled together. And the cash flow from those mortgages support bonds that we focus on in the secondary market. And here we use our proprietary analytics to analyze in a granular way at the borrower level, at the loan level, to find bonds that are inefficiently priced that we can get an advantage. Another area we focus on is in corporate credit. And here we're using bonds that are backed by corporate loans. And it's the same thing, a pool of loans where the cash flow is supporting the bonds that we're investing in. And we've built analytics to analyze these portfolios and find bonds where we like the upside relative to the downside. And we mitigate our exposure to the market direction with some strategies where we're using credit instruments and some positions on interest rates to allow us to do well in volatile markets and allow us to do well in rising or falling interest rate environments. So our focus is really a trading strategy around price inefficiency. And I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, how we protect investor capital. So I'd like to turn to slide 8. We put this together, and I'm looking at the top half of this chart. And since the inception of our fund, which has now been up and running for 9.5 years, we laid out on this slide the worst 10 months of performance for the stock market as a proxy for environments where there was risk concerns in the market. And on the far left, the first is the light blue is showing our strategy, our fund's return, net return to investors compared to the dark blue, which is the performance of the stock market. So at the onset of the pandemic in March 2020, stock market was down over 12%, and our portfolio produced a 2% return for our investors. Other you know, big moves in the market would be in the fourth quarter of 2018, we were profitable. And then this year, it's, as I mentioned, it's a challenging market. In April, stocks were down over 8.5%, and our fund was up 1.67%. So our approach to constructing the portfolio has protected investors in volatile times. I'd like to go to the next slide and bring up what I think our strategy really brings an important benefit to allocators. Because it's a trading strategy focused on taking advantage of inefficient pricing in the markets that we focus on, and balanced, so it's not dependent on the direction of the market, we end up with low correlation to broader markets. So on this chart on the left, we're showing that the fund's returns have had a 0.02 correlation to the S&P 500. That means it's not correlated. So our strategy returns aren't really going to mirror the stock market in terms of direction. And if you go out to the right on this chart, the second from the right is the Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Ag Index, where our fund's correlation is negative 0.17. That means that we're diversifying to a traditional fixed income bucket. Our return is actually not correlated to fixed income. And I bring this up because in today's environment where those markets are under stress, investors are looking for ways to diversify their portfolios, but do it with strategies that can also produce steady returns. So I'd like to turn on the next slide to show our performance and what investors can expect us to do for them. This slide lays out the monthly net performance, so the net return to our investors after fees and expenses each month. And you can see in the positive years, the returns have been, you know, mid to high teens returns. And in the years where we didn't do as well, the returns were still positive, but kind of low single digit. So this is a steady profile. If you look in aggregate since the inception of the fund, the annualized return has been 8% after fees for investors with annualized volatility of 3.6%. And that compares to the Barclays Ag, a traditional fixed income index, during the same time period of generating 1.64% return with very similar volatility of 3.5%. And the strategy, our strategies also outperformed high yield during that time frame. The index was up about 4.6% compared to our returns, just under 9%. Another characteristic is that 80% of the months had positive performance for our strategy. And in those positive months, the return was up just under 1%. And the 20% negative months, our loss was about 34 basis points. So the positive months were making about three times what we would be losing on average in the losing months. And the vast majority are positive months with our strategy. So it's a steady return profile, one that can do well in, you know, throughout the investment cycle in a wide variety of environments. So I'd like to flip to the next slide and just talk about, you know, some of the things where we can do well. And it really relates to today's environment. Our strategy does well when there's market volatility. We do well when there's rising interest rates. A stable housing market will be a positive for our mortgage bonds. And we expect that the supply demand in the mortgage market will improve because in 2021, there was a lot of refi activity, a lot of new mortgages. Now that mortgage rates are up, the volume of new mortgages is declining. which means there'll be less, a little less supply of new bonds, which will be a positive, you know, for the bonds that we own in the portfolio today. So on the next slide, just to summarize, we have a very experienced team working together for more than 15 years, investing our personal money, most of our personal money in the strategy alongside of our investors. Our firm has got significant resources and a strong infrastructure that we can you know, surround our team with and keep our focus on managing the portfolio. And the investment approach is unique in that it's not dependent on the direction of the market and takes advantage of pricing inefficiencies. And it's led to steady returns, as I was just saying. So I'll stop there. One thing I should mention is that the fund offers quarterly liquidity in terms of taking money out and is available for new investments on a monthly basis. And I'd like to just open it up to any questions about our firm, our team, our backgrounds, or the strategy.
Any trustees that have any questions for these two gentlemen?
Yes, I got a question,
Trustee Morrow, go ahead.
I appreciate the presentation, and sat through numerous presentations with various other hats on. So just, this is just sort of like about the firm and about, it's always nice when, you know, you get the heads of the firm to make presentations, but who will be servicing this fund on a daily basis? Who will the city's contact person be? Is it going to be the principals, or can you get shuffled off to sort of junior members of the firm? I mean, just walk us through the, you know, yeah, who's going to be taking care of of this part of our, you know, obviously, you guys are here for the presentation, which is nice. But who's going to be servicing us on a daily basis? And if you get in what other firm, what other pension firm, you know, fire these pensions do you have across this country?
Yeah. So to your question, you know, there's, I guess, three layers. You know, Tom Capobianco is the salesperson that is connected with you, but we also have a client services team that works with all of our investors in terms of onboarding and asking and answering any questions about the strategy, the performance, or whatever it might be. You know, we want to be very transparent with our investors, and that client team or Tom make available, you know, myself and my partners to get on the phone or do a Zoom to answer questions to you. You know, a lot of it can be handled by the client service team checking in with us, but we do, you know, one-on-one calls with our partners on a frequent basis.
I can answer the question regarding other municipalities. We have a variety of different clients that are best in the strategy. We have large state pension plans, and all the way down to municipality, individual police, individual fire, and also combination plans all across the country. We have them in Massachusetts, Florida, Texas, everywhere. So we have a variety of different clients.
Thank you.
Any other trustees with questions?
Yes, for the, am I coming through? My screen's frozen, so I'm not sure if you can hear me.
We hear you fine.
Okay, very good. For the credit risk transfer securities, what's typically the rating on those?
Yeah, so those are bonds backed by U.S. residential mortgages. The securities are issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and the ratings, you know, run a range from unrated to double B to triple B. Historically, particularly because house prices, the housing market has been strong, the rating activity has taken you know, upgrades. So they've started out, the triple B securities end up, you know, going towards triple A in this environment. and the unrated securities ended up, you know, getting rated investment grade. You know, our focus is up and down the capital structure where we see inefficient pricing. And I would say, you know, currently we're focused more on more junior bonds that have the benefit where the home is now worth on average twice as much as the outstanding mortgage balance. So it's a great protection, even if we went to a recession and people were losing their jobs, the home, you know, could be sold for well more than the outstanding mortgage. And that's where we find, you know, the best opportunity today.
Thank you. Understood. I appreciate you taking the question.
Sure. Thank you.
If I may add on that, are we looking at the same bonds where there was a problem back in 2008?
No, it's a very different environment. Number one, these bonds, you know, 2008, that those bonds were private label securities backed by what was referred to as subprime or non-agency borrowers, where their FICO scores, which measures their creditworthiness to pay the mortgage, where 800 is the best score. In those securities, it was more like 500 or 600 in terms of the pool. So it was a lower quality borrower. Plus, it was an environment where the mortgages that were being originated were kind of affordability products where they got people into mortgages at low rates and the rates went up. And those borrowers didn't have to really document as much their, you know, their jobs and ability to pay. So it was a much weaker product. Since the crisis, the underwriting has changed dramatically and the mortgages are going into government programs. So the borrower, the quality of the borrower in the bonds that we're buying today is much higher, a FICO score 720 or 750. And the borrowers are putting money down and getting fixed rate loans. So the bonds that we own, these borrowers have locked in 30-year fixed rate mortgages at much lower than today's rates. And that's a strong positive. And they have a lot of equity in the home, unlike, you know, what happened in 2008. On top of that, because of the crisis, there was underbuilding in housing for 10 years. So part of what's making the housing market hot in today's environment is a lack of supply, where 2008, there was an overbuilding.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mr. Moran, what's your thoughts? We rely heavily on you.
I have a question for thoughts. It's a question I know the answer to, but I want to ask it. There's a couple of things. First of all, if you look back at page 9, the correlation chart, which you don't have to bring up, but I haven't seen a correlation chart like that in probably my career. So if, you know, a 1 is an exact correlation on the upside to another index, and a -1 would be completely opposite direction correlation. So it's a unique product, like we talked about, when it comes to correlating with anything else. One of the things that came to my mind when we first started talking was two things. This is a product where you can add more money to and take more money away. So it's liquid, but it's still an alternative strategy, fixed income. But when I've looked at these investments in the past, everybody's got a great story. But some of these investments are something where someone comes in and says, hey, this is what we do. Trust us, and we're just going to give you a statement with how much money you have left. So that was my concern. What's the transparency in what you guys own? You own a ton of complicated products. So for the layperson, it's hard to understand a lot of what you do. So tell us about, you know, how we can see what we own, how often we can see what we own, and where do we see those?
Yep. So a couple things. The fund administrator, SS&C, has an investor portal. And 4 times a month, we put a kind of a risk snapshot report up on that portal. And if you were to invest, you'd have a login, you'd see this report, and it would lay out where we're invested. We put it in the categories of what we have in the mortgage bonds, what we have in the different strategies, and it would show the performance month to date and the last 12 months and year to date. So there's great transparency that you can see how the portfolio and the investment is doing, but how the composition of the portfolio is changing. And we also, you know, show some stress test results that can give you a sense as to, you know, if interest rates moved or the market is down, what kind of sensitivity we would expect for the portfolio. So that's very transparent. Second, the fund administrator is producing a statement. They're having an official statement every month that is available to the investors. So does that answer your question? And I guess to the question earlier is, you know, what if you have questions? So you see that kind of report during the month and you hear about the market in the news and you want to know how that might affect your investment in our strategy, that's where you would contact client service and we would answer the questions, you know, going through client service or get on a call and explain our view.
Yeah, that's my question. Thank you.
I have a question. What benchmark do you folks use for your fund?
So since our strategy is so unique, we don't see a benchmark that is really similar to our strategy. So we compare to the Barclays Ag and we compare to high yield. You know, just to be clear, we're not trying to mirror any particular benchmark. We're really looking in the market in the areas where we build expertise and trying to generate a safe, steady return. But, you know, those seem to be the typical things that people compare us against or relative value strategies.
Okay, great. Any other trustees with questions? All right, Mr. Weeks, Mr. Capobianco, appreciate your time today. We'll review with Mr. Moran and let you know where we're at. Very interesting product. It's a crazy world out there right now. Quick glance at some of your numbers. They look good in the crazy world we're at. But thank you once again for taking time to come and present with us.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your time and have a nice holiday weekend, everyone.
Same to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I apologize.
Carolyn,
I apologize. Did you have questions?
Well, their presentation materials had said that they were private and confidential, not to be disclosed. And I understand that they have said that they understand they're presenting at a public meeting and they can be disclosed. And I just wanted them to acknowledge that, but that's because we do get freedom of information requests following these meetings almost every month.
Is that something Mr. Moran can follow up with?
Yeah, we spoke exactly about that. Carolyn, I apologize. I know you wanted me to ask that question and I did not, but they knew that material was on there. They presented to other public clients. So they're comfortable with that. So we should not have an issue. I can get something sent back to us if you'd like in writing saying that, you know, we understand it's FOI.
That'd be great. If they could just send an email, that'd be terrific. Email. Thank you.
So Carolyn, on your point, since you're obviously an attorney, they have two different vehicles for this. If we were to invest, there's an offshore vehicle in the Cayman Islands, which many pension funds use because of it's just the most common one. And also for private clients, it's a non-taxable situation. However, when I talk to them about that situation and who has done onshore, they mentioned that one of their public clients was interested in the onshore just because of litigation and it would be litigated or arbitrated in the United States. So I did kick the tires on that so that you could start working on your side letter now if you'd like, if we were to invest in these folks. But I did try to kick the tires on most of the contractual stuff so that when, you know, these questions do come up, we have an answer to that. So they both have onshore and offshore options. None of which changes our investment at all. It just changes the contract and the legality of it and the legal section of it.
I appreciate that. And that has come up in the past. So thank you very much.
Dave, thank you. Dave, your thoughts. First of all, what are we looking at if you were to want to move into this fund and open it up to the trustees with questions to you?
So like we talked about, you know, it's complicated, but we are looking for alternatives in fixed income. As you can see from those numbers, they're pretty phenomenal. This isn't just in the last year with rates that have gone straight up. They've got great numbers across the board. So, however, with that said, I still want to put these into the fixed income bucket. I want to compare against the other four managers. So we're low on our allocation to fixed income on purpose. We still think rates are going to go up. But I want to compare them to fixed income because they really are owning fixed income instruments. So what I would like to do is stay within that range where we're at the low mid-teens right now. I think it's about 16% if you look at the report. Things have balanced out because equities have gone down. So it's actually increased that a little bit. So my opinion would be, if we were to do this, would be to add that fifth manager within fixed income, take the majority of that money from other fixed income managers, so that we get up into the range. If I was to tell you where to allocate, I'd say between, listen, we're not doing a million or two. We don't have, you know, it doesn't move the needle enough. So I would say anywhere from 7.5 to 10 million. But the other nice thing about this investment is that on a monthly basis, if we need money to pay benefits and cash flow, we can get it. It's fully liquidable within 1 year, but on a monthly, on a quarterly basis, we can get it. We could also add to it on a monthly basis. So if we start off on the small end of the range, we could add to it, but that would be my recommendation as far as size. Whether or not we should do this, I think it's a good spot to be. And I know we've kicked the tires, but it's up to the trustees for discussion. We're not forcing an answer today if you'd like to think about it. Most of the time we do bring things to a vote, but if the trustees have any direct answers to me, questions to me right now while they're off the phone, we're more than happy to talk about it.
Any thoughts from the trustees? Questions for Mr. Moran?
I just want to add in there that I think because of our asset allocation requirements, you know, I understand that we do have a need for fixed income. And, you know, this fund is also in a position where we have to, you know, pay out a significant amount every month. So I think that this is a good strategy. And I'm prepared to make a motion to follow our recommendation of our investment advisor.
Motion has been made. Can I get a second on that motion?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. You know, like I think Trustee Cannon, you brought up the, you know, like, you know, once people start talking mortgages and investing in those things, you know, but the hairs on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. I thought they gave a decent answer. I don't think it was a great answer on with your question about mortgages. You know, it's predicated on the market being what it is. It's predicated on the market staying at a certain level. It's predicated on the housing market, the value of those houses not going down. I mean, so you brought up the question and, you know, sort of like my, you know, I don't know if they sold me on their answer on the mortgages. But if you're talking about a small investment here, you know, I don't see a major problem with that.
Mr. McDermott, your motion, is there an amount?
I believe Mr. Moran recommended allocating, what was it, $7 million from other fixed income areas?
Yeah, I said 7.5 to 10, but again, 7's fine. We could start with that number and keep a close eye on them. And if we want to add to that position over time, we can do that. It's a unique opportunity with a non-liquid, long-only traditional manager. So I might be comfortable with that number. It'll keep us right in range with where we want to be.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put forth the motion then to take $7 million from the other fixed income allocation funds toward this one.
Second.
Motion has been made by Trustee McDermott, seconded by Trustee Morrow. Any discussion on the matter from other trustees? If not, I will call out your names. All in favor, say aye. Barbara Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Morrow?
Aye.
Trustee Ken and I am an aye. The motion passes. Okay, moving on. I believe we still have two other items that are still open. I'll confirm that with Leanna. I think we have item 10 and 11 still open.
That is correct.
Okay. Item 10, old business. Leanna, is there any old business that is outstanding?
There's nothing that I have for old business.
Any trustees with any inquiries to old business? Okay, moving on to item 11, new business. Trustees, any new business? Trustee Cannon will, I don't see Mr. Gormley on the meeting anymore. Is Mr. Gormley still here?
I saw him leave, actually.
Okay. My inquiry is into the city's future payment, where we are with an idea of the amount and the timeline. Leanna, that's something that you could look into and we can address next month.
Yes, I will send Mr. Gormley an email after this.
Great, thank you. Any other new business? Any other trustees with any questions? We got right down to business with the mayor earlier today, and I'd like to welcome the newest member, Trustee Morrow, to the board. We look forward to working with you, working together to advance the police and fire pension. So welcome aboard. All right, item 12. Can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
That motion's been made I believe Mr. Morrow. Seconded by, I believe, Trustee Vereen. All in favor, Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Morrow? Trustee Morrow? Trustee Morrow, you're on mute.
Yep, aye, aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon, I'm an aye. Have a happy 4th of July to all on this meeting. Thank you.
Same to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy 4th.